I'm going to read a story, at least a chunk of a story, entitled The Father's Love. This is from my only collection of short stories entitled God's Bedfellows. The Father's Love, Part 1. A small black snake with three yellow stripes slides through the clover. It's so hot and dry that things crackle beneath its body. The clover is parched. When the snake reaches the mowed grass at the edge of the clearing, it feels vibrations. It stops. Feet are coming. Its tongue darts little flickers of black and crimson. The feet come closer. Fat feet and bony feet. Feet in sandals. Feet in sneakers. Bare feet with bandages on the toes. It slips into the Saskatoons. Moves slowly through the bushes around the clearing. Angles off toward the shed. This is the only building outside the circular clearing. It is halfway between the clearing and the lake. More vibrations. Again, the tongue darts in and out. In a tired voice, Rose Pender tells Alex the handyman that something is wrong. It just doesn't feel right this time. All that squabble about Rose's cooking, I'll be damned, says Rose. If I'm going to sit around and let Mary Jane bitch and moan about my cooking, she's never done that before. Mary Jane can jolly well get a new cook. Besides, you never hear the girls complaining. A hatchet clatters to the floor of the shed. The snake convulses once and is gone. Between two new gasoline cans, it reappears. It's back within the circle of the clearing, beneath Mary Jane's cabin. Here, too, there are vibrations, soft and musical. In the mellow rise and fall of Mary Jane's voice, the snake coils and waits. Mary Jane is talking to old Mrs. Lamb, who always listens and never interrupts. There's too much talk about bombs and unemployment and violence and not enough listening to the Lord, says Mary Jane Meadows. And Mrs. Lamb nods as though Mary Jane has just said it's a lovely day, Mrs. Lamb. Negative thinking, Mrs. Lamb, continues Mary Jane. That's the name of the beast, negative thinking. Why, Mrs. Lamb, when the sun goes down, would you believe that sometimes I, of all people, fall prey to it? It's true. Mrs. Lamb nods again and smiles vaguely. She is very confused and perhaps just a little frightened. Never in her life has she seen Mary Jane carry on so. She was on the selection committee that appointed Mary Jane camp director years ago. Beautiful and serene, the ladies had said, a model for all the girls. That was their own first assessment of Mary Jane. She is still a very lovely woman, but hardly what you'd call serene. Rose Pender thinks she's got a flask somewhere. When the girls are all in bed after the hour of song, Rose says Mary Jane drinks all night in her cabin or takes walks in the woods at the weirdest hours. Ever since her father died, Mary Jane has not been exactly well, you know. Mrs. Lamb, said Mary Jane, can I call you Grace? Of course, says Mrs. Lamb. Of course, dear. And they are gripping each other's hands. Grace, says Mary Jane, let me ask you something personal. Have you ever fallen prey to the darkness? Grace Lamb's heart skips a beat. Well, she says, I do have my ups and downs, Mary Jane. Sometimes I pray for you, Grace. Do you ever pray for me? Mary Jane is smiling brilliantly, a light in her eyes. Grace has never seen this light before. A great moth as big as a bird flutters in her chest. Grace, will you kneel down and pray with me right now? The cello tone of Mary Jane's voice descends through the floor of her cabin, through the pilings, hums into the two new cans of gasoline, and the snake languidly uncoils. Then there is no humming. The snake passes slowly from the gloom beneath the cabin into the sunlight. A moment later, it slides across the path that leads from Mary Jane's cabin to those of the girls. There are four girls' cabins, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When it reaches Matthew, it coils lightly around the tangle of rose bushes. There is a thunket, thunket sound that jolts the ground. It comes from this first cabin. Inside the cabin is Pud Lacusta. He's waiting for Erna. Against the wooden floor and the propped open door, Pud throws an Indian rubber ball, catches it, flicks it again, thunk it, thunk it. Sometimes he throws it against the clapboard wall and it goes, Meadows, Meadows, Meadows. He has been told by Miss Meadows that he will not be swimming with the girls anymore. It is tough working at a girls' camp, especially when it's run by a bossy old tit like Mary Jane Meadows. He chucks the ball at the propped open door again, and it goes, fuck it, fuck it, fuck it. Lately, he's been thinking how much he'd love to get Miss Meadows, toss a bee's nest in her cabin at night, or maybe put a garter snake in her bed. He flings the ball hard at the door. It bounces out of the doorway and down onto the path. The snake shudders once, yellow-black swift ribbon, gone.